Our lesson today is taken out of the Gospel according to Luke, the 13th chapter, where we read of a crooked woman being healed and being made straight. At the commencement of this chapter, we have a multitude of people coming unto Christ and relating unto him something that Pilate had done. Pilate had had a number of Galileans slain while they were worshiping in the temple. We do not read the reason why that this took place, but we find a certain man by the name of Judas of Galilee who had a number of followers. We read of him in the 5th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. This group of people refused to pay the taxes to the Romans, which they extorted from them. And this man rose up against the Romans. This man was slain, and all his followers, they were dispersed. But it appears that some of them came to the temple. And while they were in the temple, Pilate, who was a Roman governor, he had them slain right in the house of God. This was spread abroad throughout all the land. And now some of these people came to Christ and related this to him. And he turns and speaks unto those that gave him this story and said, "Think ye that these Galileans were greater sinners than other Galileans because they experienced these things? Except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish." These people were under the impression that it was some extraordinary sin, some prominent sin that these Galileans were guilty of, and therefore God in his justice came down and used Pilate to take away their lives. But Jesus here exhorts to repentance, teaching these people that these Galileans were no greater sinners than themselves, and that if they did not repent, they likewise would perish. Probably not in the same manner that these Galileans did, but if they died, they would perish eternally. Jesus then exhorts to repentance. What is repentance, my hearers? Repentance is a turning from sin with all the heart unto the living God. It is something that the Spirit of God works in the hearts of sinners, causing them to see the consequences of sin and what the end would be if they go on in sin. And they are given to return unto God with a godly sorrow on account of their sins. That this true repentance leads to faith in Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of all their sins. And now Jesus speaks again about a certain number of people, 18, who were suddenly cut off when the Tower of Siloam fell upon them. We had this when we spoke to you about the lesson of the blind man, that he was exhorted to go to the pool Siloam. Near this pool stood this tower, and it appears that part of the tower suddenly fell, and 18 people were crushed underneath it, and they lost their lives. What a terrible accident this was. 18 souls were immediately called upon to give an account of their stewardship before God. And Jesus likewise speaks again about these 18, that they were no greater sinners than others in Jerusalem, and that except these people repented, they likewise would perish. Oh, my hearers, this is something for you and I. Except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Oh, let me exhort you, my hearers, unto this precious and glorious Jesus, who is exalted at the right hand of God to bestow repentance and forgiveness of sins unto each and every creature that may be given by his Spirit to come unto him. Oh, may I lay words in your very mouth, my hearers. Believe me, if you do not repent, you likewise most certainly shall eternally perish. Oh, may you go to this precious Jesus and say, Lord, if you do not bestow repentance on me, I will perish forever and ever. Oh, turn me, Lord, turn me, and I will be turned. May that be your prayer, your sigh, your groan, my hearers, unto this precious Christ, who himself likewise exhorted sinners to repentance. And he gives in this chapter a parable, meaning, speaking yet about repentance, that a certain man had a vineyard, and he planted therein a fig tree. And this man that owned the vineyard, he came seeking fruit upon the fig tree. For 3 years he came, and he found no fruit upon it. Therefore he spake unto the dresser of his vineyard, that he should root this fig tree out. For why should it yet cumber the ground? It did not bear any fruit anyway. But the dresser says, leave it stay this year yet. I will dig around it, and I will dung it, and then we will see whether it will bear fruit or not. And if not, then cut it down. This parable that Jesus speaks here, my hearers, has reference in the first place to the Jewish people. The Jewish people, they were God's special people. They were a peculiar people. They were, in a certain sense of the word, his vineyard. He had come down in the midst of these people. He had chosen them. He had given unto them his law, his ordinances. He gave unto them their whole religious system of worship. And furthermore, he was with them in the wilderness. He bore with their manners 40 years, carrying them through the wilderness, and finally brought them into the land of Canaan. He sent unto them his prophets, exhorting them to return unto him. And these prophets, they experienced much hatred. Some of them were cut off. Some of them were spoken against and persecuted very much. And finally, he sent unto them his dear son, Jesus. And they rejected him. They crucified him on the cross of Calvary. And after 40 years, we find that God cut these people off as a nation. They did not bear any fruit. Likewise, we may apply this to each and every creature that comes under the gospel, especially those that enter into the visible church by baptism. The church is God's vineyard. And members of this particular outward church are given to hear the gospel, are given to mingle with God's people. They likewise may partake of many blessings that God showers down upon his church. And while they are in this church, they likewise resemble this fig tree. They, after many years of hearing the truth, remain as they are, unfruitful. And my hearers, they likewise will be cut down if they remain in this unfruitful state. The Lord of the vineyard, he views these people, and as this dresser required that it would remain yet a year, this teaches us, if we are such unfruitful hearers, that we should examine ourselves whether the gospel ever has brought any fruit into our hearts. Oh, especially my hearers, when we come to an end of a year, may we look back upon that year and say, how long has God borne with me? How long has he spared me? Another year gone by, and I am still unfruitful. I may come under the gospel. I may hear so many things and be exhorted to return to God, and I remain what I am, an unfruitful tree. Oh, my hearers, especially does God dig and dung round about sinners when he visits them with afflictions, when he brings them low, when he lays them upon a deathbed, and when they are given to arise from that deathbed. God is so good, and then he raises them up again. He spares them. In his long suffering and in his tender mercy, he has not yet said, cut it down. Why does it yet cumber the ground? Oh, may these things humble your hearts, my hearers, that God is so good yet that he has not cut you down, such an unfruitful tree. Likewise, we may apply this to God's people. Oh, how many of the dear children of God often say, I am like that fig tree. They know of a time when they were planted in the Lord's vineyard. Oh, when the Lord came to them and drew them with the cords of his love. Oh, when they were given to follow him, given true repentance, returning unto him with all their hearts, experiencing so much love, so much favor. So many promises had been spoken to them, but they come in a period of time where they are so barren, where all the love and all the favor and all the mercies that they have experienced seem to be taken away. And oh, they become so confused. They know not what is taking place in them. And they come Lord's Day after Lord's Day, and they experience nothing. Oh, they are so barren under the ministry of the Word. And then they begin to search themselves, to examine themselves. Oh, they wonder what the trouble is. Then they begin to say to themselves, it can't be true. I've mistaken myself. I've deceived myself. Would I be like I am? So lifeless, so cold, so worldly, so sinful, so fleshly. Oh, they begin to see that they are just like that fig tree. They bear no fruit. Oh, they are so barren in themselves. And they say often, I've said it, why do I yet cumber the ground? Such a sinner, such a creature as I am, how does the Lord bear with me yet? Have you never said it? Oh, my hearers, when God withholds the light of his countenance, and we must go into darkness when we are in the wilderness, and we see nothing of the way anymore, have no fruit. We cannot see that we ever bore any fruit. It is true we never have of ourselves, but there was a time when we did partake of the fruits of that tree, Christ Jesus. He has said in his precious word, I am the true vine, ye are the branches. Except ye abide in me, and I in you, ye shall not bear any fruit. And oh, if we are one of those branches of this true vine, of this living tree, Christ Jesus, most certainly he will purge us, that we shall bear more fruit. And to be purged, my hearers, that isn't a very pleasant experience. Oh, to be stripped, to be emptied, to be brought low,
so that Christ, that precious Savior, will be our all and in all, and from him our fruit is found. May I ask you a question? Have you never tasted of the fruit of this tree? Has it never been sweet to your taste? Oh, how blessed are you if you have ever partaken of one fruit of this tree. Oh, when we are in barrenness and in the wilderness, and then we view ourselves like this fig tree. But let the graces be brought into exercise. Let the wind blow upon this barren tree, and then you will see that it will begin to bear fruit. The fruits of love, of joy, of peace, of humility, oh, the fruit of faith, of hope, shall spring into exercise. Oh, it is not you, but it is that blessed Spirit that must again and again revive the work in your souls. This fig tree, my hearers, is a prominent tree in the eastern part of this world. Many people make their livelihood by growing figs. It is unusual with this tree. The fruit does not grow upon the twigs as we see fruit growing here. We notice when we have fruit on a tree, apples, peaches, plums, they all hang from the branches. But figs, they do not grow in that manner. They grow on the trunk, on the branch itself, fastened right to it. That is unusual for such a tree. This tree grows very large, sometimes 15 to 25 foot high. In 1 Kings 5, we read of such a tree where 300 men were seated under it, an immense tree. We read likewise of Nathanael. He was under the fig tree. We read even of Adam and Eve, that they took leaves of the fig tree to cover themselves. In this country, in the United States, in Texas, and in California, those two particular states, they produce most of the world's figs. The production in this country for 1 year is 200 million pounds of figs. They are dried up and sent to all the inhabitable parts of the world. These figs are very nutritious. They are very sweet. These fig trees were very prominent in where the Lord was upon earth. And when one of these trees did not bear any fruit, it was a great calamity. These trees, even in Asia and in Palestine, they sometimes gave and yielded 280 pounds of figs from one tree. I'm giving you a little history of the fig tree. This fig tree we have been speaking about was barren. It did not bear any fruit. There's a lot of cultivation necessary. There's a lot of manure and various things used to make the tree grow. Now, my hearers, the Lord Jesus Christ, he speaks here about this fig tree being cut down. Oh, there is a day coming. Each and every one of us are trees in his visible church. And woe be unto us if we have never borne any fruit. Then that heavenly husbandman will become at length tired of looking upon us where we never bore any fruit. And then he will give that commandment, cut it down, for why cumbereth it yet the ground? Do you not fear that, my hearers? Oh, may you turn unto him in all your fear, and may you beseech him that he would not cut you down,
but that he would become unto you the tree of life, that you may partake of the fruits of Jesus Christ. And now we find that Jesus, he went to the synagogue to preach and to teach the people. He was accustomed on the Sabbath day to go into these Jewish synagogues, of which there were so many in the land of Judea. And we find him on the Sabbath day in the synagogue. Let us learn a lesson from this. Did Jesus go to the synagogue? Did he enter into the house of God on the Sabbath day? Let us not let our place empty. Let us follow him who has given us an example in this. And we find that there was a woman in this synagogue which had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years, and she had been bowed down, and she could in no wise lift up herself. This woman then came into the synagogue, not to be healed. She came there to worship God. She came and she heard Jesus speaking in the temple. She was so crooked and so bent over that she couldn't even see Jesus. All she could do is hear him. Later on in this chapter, we find that the devil had done this unto this woman. We see in this how much power that the devil has under what God lets him do. Take Job, for instance, what the devil didn't do to Job. Here we have a woman in a like manner, under a spirit of infirmity. The devil probably had brought her into convulsions, and she had been bent over, and he had kept her in that state. 18 years! And now being in that state, she came into the temple, into the synagogue. She puts a lot of people to shame. How many people, they have infirmities? They have a cold, sore throat. Some of them, they have a little fever. Right away, they got an excuse to stay home on the Lord's Day. Why? Because they have no desire to come up to the house of God. They're seeking for an excuse, just so that they could lay around, probably, read magazines, read the Sunday papers, and so forth. But they're accustomed to coming to the house of God, but they're like them barren fig trees that I'm speaking about. They don't get any fruit when they come under the word, and they're careless and indifferent about their immortal souls, and therefore they stay away from the house of God for the slightest thing. Here is a woman all crooked, all bent up, and she is found in the synagogue. She did not come there to be healed, my hearers. She only came there as you and I come to the temple. And now when she was in the temple, Christ, he saw this woman. He knew this woman. He knew her from all eternity. He knew that she had been bowed down in this way for 18 years. And oh, I can see the heart, the pity, the compassion of Jesus looking at that poor woman, knowing in what a state she had been, moved of himself. She didn't move him. She didn't pray to him. She didn't intercede him to help her, to deliver her, no. He was moved of himself, looking at her in that condition. And then he spake. And he said, and he called her to him. And she came. Can't you picture her coming, all crooked? Maybe she needed somebody to assist her. She couldn't even see to whom she was coming. But she was coming to a physician who needed no medicines. He didn't need any instruments whatsoever to perfect the cure, no. When she came, he spake and said, "Woman, thou art loosed of this thine infirmity." Oh, just by the word, he loosed this woman who had been held bound fast by Satan for 18 years. Just speaking,
Oh, my hearers, we cannot esteem the wonderful power that goes forth with the word of Jesus. Oh, that that power was more manifested in the temple today. How seldom is the power found with the preached word, with the read word. But here Jesus spake, and this woman was healed of this infirmity. He laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. Oh, my hearers, this woman being raised up in this way and being healed is a type of a sinner dead in trespasses and sins. Every sinner by nature is under the power and under the dominion of Satan. And they live in that state, my hearers, and remain in that state and will die in that state if this blessed Jesus does not have pity and compassion upon them. Oh, I would entreat you, my hearers, to come to the house of God. It is there where Jesus comes. It is there where he reveals his power, his mercy, and his love and his pity and his compassion, and that towards sinners. Oh, we see so the sovereignty in this example here. Without her even asking, without her ever praying or interceding, he himself was moved of himself to have pity and compassion upon her. Oh, what a magnificent display of the sovereign grace of God do we have here, my hearers. Has it ever happened to you? Has he ever looked upon you in pity, in compassion, in love, and in affection? You never looked to him, you never prayed to him, you never asked him, but oh, he looked towards you. He knew you, he loved you from all eternity. Oh, he spake, he said, come unto this woman. And my hearers, when he calls, we must obey.